Get ready to get your nerd on.
Kick the week off right with games, gadgets, and general geekery from the ladies of the Electric Sisterhood on the Eshcast.
On Tuesday, the J-pop and alternative hotspot hits your eardrums on No Borders, No Race.
Geek Aggro is coming at you on Wednesdays to fill what's left of your cerebral cortex with the hottest beats to get you on your feet.
Then you have me, Phil the Issues Guy, with the live issues program's post-episode recaps on live right after your favorite shows and taking all of your questions.
It's going down each week, only in the land of Ash. Nerdcore at its finest.
And now, the Boston Bastard Brigade, Electric Sisterhood, and Omnistry Inc. proudly present No Borders, No Race, the world's J-pop and alternative hotspot.
Konnichiwa, my bastards and wenches, and welcome to another episode of No Borders, No Race. I am your host, King Baby Dog, and joining me today, once again, is one of our good buddies from 42's Anime Reviews, Miss 42 Believer.
Thanks, Dave, for having me back. I'm so excited. I get to talk about Haikyuu, and I haven't had a chance to talk about it yet.
I know. We got that to talk about. We got another series that we're going to be talking about today. And I want to ask you, because the summer season has officially ended for anime, and I gotta ask, what was your favorite anime of the past summer?
Well, I was thoroughly disappointed. One sec, before I get to the one that I really liked, I gotta mention that I was thoroughly disappointed by Gangsta.
I mean, how the hell do you end a show like that?
I mean, the ending is not what angered me, mostly because I've read the manga, so I know what happens.
I know you know what happens, but how do you end the show on such a cliffhanger with nothing resolved?
Well, and see, the thing is that it really wouldn't have mattered if they had ended it any later, because it's not like any of those questions are answered anytime soon.
Really?
So for me, having that perspective, it's like there really was no good way to end it the way they did, other than to say second season. But as we all know,
Manglobe is just gone.
Bankrupt. So that's probably never going to happen.
Well, unless, of course, someone else takes it. I mean, I can picture someone like Madhouse or Studio Bones picking up for season two. I think they would do a good job with it.
See, I would just prefer that they just remake season one. Because I was kind of disappointed.
Well, if you want a good company that does great retcons, I mean, Studio Bones, they did a great job retconning the whole Fullmetal Alchemist anime.
That is true, and knowing that, Bones, please do it. As far as what I actually did like from last season, I still haven't finished a lot because I'm a dirty, sticking weeaboo who's lazy. Not really, I'm busy. But I really liked Akigami no Shirayuki Hime, and that was a Bones anime.
Okay.
And it is getting a second season, and I'm really excited about it, because it's a shoujo, but it's just really pretty.
I hear, like, it's a good shoujo.
It is a good shoujo, and then I just think that not only the animation is really good because, you know, Bones, but whoever does the backgrounds, like, I think I mentioned to you, it's like a Thomas Kinkade painting, because they're just so pretty.
Oh, really? Okay, yeah.
They're so freaking pretty, and I really appreciate eye candy, so that's always good in my book. Plus, for people who are like, man, shoujo, it takes them like 26 episodes to get together and then like nothing ever happens. They do get together in the first season.
Okay.
Spoilers,
good.
But not really.
I mean, it's inevitable.
Yeah, but it just doesn't take forever like a lot of shoujo.
Yo, no, I agree.
So that's another reason I really liked it. I have also read the manga for that, which is why I was so excited for it, and it got a much better adaptation than Gangsta.
Excellent.
What about you?
For my favorite anime, you see, it's a toss-up between School Live, which took the whole slice of life anime and really turned it upside down by adding the whole zombie aspect to it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I still gotta say, my favorite surprise of this summer season was Himoto Maru-chan. That show was just flat-out hilarious, and it was the perfect summer anime, because when you're in the summertime mood, you want to be relaxed, you want to be lazy, and that's what Himoto Maru-chan is all about.
Yeah, I couldn't.
I feel like I'm the only person in our whole like group of anime reviewer fan base like that loves that show, and I don't understand why people don't like it.
I can't. I can't do it. I don't know why. I can't really. It's kind of, you know, you get online and then you see people talking about a thing and you just don't get it. And from then on, you have that initial, like, just disinterest. And then people keep talking about it and talking about it. And then it's everywhere and everywhere and everywhere you look, you see that stupid freaking hat. And your disinterest turns into, like, just vengeful spite.
So you've never actually watched the show?
I've seen an episode. Oh. I didn't like it.
You saw an episode. You didn't see a few episodes.
No. See, like, the thing is that I just can't. Because I think even after a few episodes, I just hate it more.
Okay. All right.
Sorry, all right. I know that's your favorite. I totally just bashed your favorite one from last season. That was very mean of me.
No, it's all right. It's fine. We all have different opinions. I mean, if we all thought exactly the same thing, then, you know, this would be a boring world that we would live in.
Very true and well put.
Exactly. All right. Why don't we take our first musical break, and when we come back, we will talk about your favorite volleyball boys. So remember, if you like what you hear and want to support these artists, you can grab just about all these records on cdjapan.co.jp, amazon.com, iTunes, Bandcamp, the band's official sites, and your local record store. And today we're going to start things off with a track from the Teenage Kissers, a band fronted by Nana Kitane, who some may remember from her contributions to Fullmetal Alchemist and that Powerpuff Girls anime. What was that called? Demishita Powerpuff Girls Z?
Maybe.
You don't remember either?
I don't remember. Very sorry.
Anyway, this song is called Shadow Queen.
struggle advice, but I'm sick of it. My friend, thanks for your anxiety, but it's a nightmare when she's not with me. You wonder why I chose her. She's 40 and I'm 22. Her skin is almost like my mother's. She'll be 50 when I'm 32. Stop wondering what is the point.
From their My Own Destruction EP. The band went on hiatus back in 2008, and no word yet when they'll be back together. And just a quick add-in, the EP that the previous Teenage Kisser song was on is called Lightning Machine. So, my bad. I don't often do that. That's like the first time I've ever forgotten to list an album and an EP from a song that I've actually just spun.
That would be like, oh, dang it, I had such a perfect track record, and now I just...
Yeah. Yeah, that was a little bit of a fuck up there. So before we go into the Haikyuu Season 2 first couple episodes, I need to apologize to you, a 42 believer, because, you know, we used to, you know, rip on you because of your love for this anime.
You guys did, hardcore, like, what isn't it for us?
Yeah, and I feel really bad because, like, as soon as, like, we did that episode, I believe it was, like, the best of 2014, I watched the show, and I loved it. I thought... what it taught its viewers. I feel like it's a great show to show like teams and like high school football, basketball, any sport. You should show this to them to teach them the value of teamwork and perseverance.
Yeah, pretty much that's like right on the nose of the messages of Haikyuu, and I love Haikyuu so much.
So My question for you is, like, because I know it's a great show, but how and why did this particular sports anime, when there's, like, so many other sports anime out there about much more popular sports that have not reached a popularity that Haikyuu, which is about a sport that's not as popular, volleyball, how did that become, like, the most popular sports series out there?
Well, see, and the thing is that Haikyuu is probably not the most popular. And the reason I know this is because after watching Haikyuu, which was an amazing experience watching it the first time through, I just went out and was consuming all of the sports anime to fill the void that Haikyuu left in me after it was over. And I just watched all these different ones. And the most popular one is probably Kuroko no Basuke.
That's like, I thought, what, did that come first or did Slam Dunk come first?
Slam Dunk came first, but Slam Dunk's like old.
Yeah.
And, you know, Kuroko no Basuke was new, it was done by Production IG, and then, like, it got a second season and the animation was even better. And Haikyuu's also done by Production IG. Like, I have this theory that Production IG just has, like, a team of people who played sports, like, hidden somewhere in their office performing moves for them to, like, model their animation off of, because
probably.
It looks so good. But, yeah, Kuroko no Basuke is definitely, was, when it came out, like, hella popular. And then Haikyuu came out, and it became hella popular. Like, the, I remember that the sales for the manga were, like, decent, but after the anime came out, they, like, skyrocketed through the freaking roof. Because everyone just, like, saw the anime and was like, oh my god, and then bought the manga.
That's actually kind of what happened to the anime that I mentioned in the previous one, School Live. Like, not a lot of people were reading it and everything, but when the first episode that premiered, like, the manga sales, like, I think almost went ten times more than it usually did.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
So what do you think it is about Haikyuu that resonates with its fan base?
Well, for me, I think all the characters are interesting, and I think they all have a lot of depth to them, and that includes, like, the rival teams. In other sports anime, a rival team is, like, more portrayed as, like, the enemy that you must crush into the ground until they are metaphorically dead. And in Haikyuu, I think the rivals, they're not enemies. Like, they're just as lovable as the main cast, and you just become confused with who to root for. And so I think that makes people so emotional over them that they just care a lot more. And that's what really resonates with the fan base. At least with me, it does. And I think the humor is just on point with my humor style. I love the humor in Haikyuu.
You see, I feel like that, because there was the other show that we watched this past summer, Aoharu Machine Gun. And mm-hmm. I feel like they were trying to attempt that with the rival team of Toy Gangan. But I feel like that they tried to push the villain aspect of it too much.
Yeah, as I told you, I still haven't finished Aoharu X Machine Gun. Or did I tell you that?
No, you did not.
Oh, I'm sorry. I haven't finished it yet. I think I thought about it in my head, but I couldn't figure a way to word it into that text I sent you without making the text, like, a million letters long.
Ah, okay.
So, and that's why I thought I did, but I really didn't, because I'm an idiot.
It's okay. Now, here's a question I think you know is going to be coming up. Why do you think Haikyuu has such a huge following with the yaoi fanatics?
Okay, so I have a lot of theories about this. People who read yaoi notice patterns. And the pattern is usually tall guy who's older and looks masculine gets with a shorter guy who's younger and looks a little bit more feminine. That is just a pattern that is seen throughout yaoi. It just is. I mean, there's some variations on it. Sometimes, you know, one of them's maybe, you know, the shorter one is taller but feminine, or sometimes, you know, the taller one is younger than the feminine guy.
Yeah.
But generally, that's the pattern. And so yaoi fans see this pattern and recognize it as BL. And then they go out into, you know, regular anime, and they see that pattern occur, And so then they just project that pattern onto the anime.
You see, and I don't get that because I watched the whole first season and I did not see a pattern like that. Like, I watched the show and it feels like it's more about the importance of teamwork, former rivals bonding over a similar goal, not giving up, even if you lose in the end, because there's always next year. Like I said, I feel like it's a great anime series to show kids who have an interest in sports, not just volleyball.
Oh, no, yeah.
But I just don't see anything about this anime that screams, you know, whatever Hinata and Kageyama are doing in one of those doujinshis that you bought at Anime Boston.
Okay, first of all those doujinshis were classy doujinshis. They were all classy and tasteful. And second, the thing is that the pattern is there because you see Kageyama and he's tall, and you see Hinata and he's short. And Kageyama is definitely the more masculine of the two, and I think he's older as well. And so there, project the pattern right there. It's the pattern is right in front of them.
But you can basically do that with any anime series.
Yeah, and guess what Yaoi fans do? They do that with every anime series.
But I've never seen it be pushed out so much than in the whole Haikyuu aspect.
Well, the thing is that it's just because Haikyuu is so popular. And shonen sports anime have, I think, in my opinion, always had a little bit of a greater following amongst the female fans of anime in general. Sports anime have a large female fan base. Even if they're classified as shonen, they just have large female fan bases.
Right, like with something like Prince of Tennis, which is a shonen manga, but it does have a huge female following.
Exactly. Same thing with, you know, Kuroko no Basuke, that has a huge female following. Yaomushi Petal, the one about bicycles, that has a huge female following. I think a larger percentage of the fans of shonen anime that are sports related are female. I think maybe Free had a little bit to do with that as well.
Maybe
just a little bit, because Free really isn't a sports anime in the way that like Haikyuu and Kuroko no Basuke and Yaomushi Petal are sports anime.
Right, yeah, Free is a sports anime where it's just guys with their shirts off in water.
Yeah, it's like a slice of life sports anime. It really is. I see, you know, there's Haikyuu was probably the most popular for female fans amongst all of the, you know, sports anime that have come out recently. Haikyuu has been the most popular for those females, so that's why there is such a huge presence of Yaoi fans shipping all the characters together.
Yeah, so I feel like if you get into the whole manga business, into the anime business, and your show becomes popular, you gotta accept the fact that your characters are gonna be shipped in ways that you probably never wanted them to be shipped in the first place.
Yeah, and you know what? Another, like, pro tip, if you wanna, like, you know, really make some sales, is definitely pander towards that female audience, because they buy your shit too, and they will make you successful if you ship tees, because you know that they're watching for it with every bated breath. God.
Which is what Kyoto Animation did with Free, I reckon.
Oh yeah, I think Kyoto Animation knew their target audience, and I think they played to that very well. And I think that, you know, especially with Haikyuu, for me, is that I felt such an attachment to Haikyuu, even not counting all the shipping stuff, that I bought a lot of merchandise, as you know. Doujins, but official merchandise.
Yes.
I bought so much Haikyuu merchandise. Like, my collection is insane, because I love it so much, and I want tangible things that remind me of the show in my daily life. And you know, that helps, you know, you feel more invested in it after that, and that also helps revenue for the show and the people who made it. Like, they are making a ton of sales just on merchandise, not even the anime itself.
Eh, fair enough, I guess. So, let's jump into the first two episodes of Season 2, because, like, the first episode is kind of like not so much a recap, it's more of a reminder of what Karasuno is like, and what this sort of friendship or friendly rivalry between Hinata and Kageyama.
Yes. That scene was glorious. I loved it.
With them running up the hill, going faster and faster and faster to the point where they get lost.
It was very their relationship. Like, that dynamic was very them, and I could just see it coming. And how they both lined up to, you know, get ready to race, and how they both glanced at each other and didn't have to say anything, but they knew they were going to race.
Yep.
That, to me, was just like, ah, it's so good! The whole setup and the friendly rivalry between them, but it's also, you know, they have a little bit of a rivalry, but I think that they work together really well. And they just complement each other. So
yeah, and I feel like that's the point of the show, is just seeing how two former rivals actually complement one another with their own style of gameplay.
Yeah, and how it just, you know, freaks everyone out when they see it. Like Ushijima Wakatoshi, who they meet after their run, and they run into the middle of nowhere, and they're like, oh my god, this strong guy, we have to get stronger to beat him, and he's right freaking there.
Yes. Ah, it's Japan.
It's Japan. Oh, you're not this so cute.
I love how when they go to the high school campus, he's like freaking out over everything there. Kageyama, they've got horses.
Kageyama, they got like a bus, and they got like this huge field, and they got this and this, and then they get lost, and then they're like, just, it's like that shot far away where they're just bouncing up and down in the parking lot saying we're lost.
Yeah.
That was like my favorite moment from the entire episode, not gonna lie. Just their tiny little bodies, like with their hands in the air, bouncing up and down.
Mm-hmm. So, towards the end of the episode, you find out that the team is maybe participating in a practice tournament that's being held in Tokyo?
Not a practice tournament, but they're like just getting in with a league of people who come together to practice a lot, like a training camp almost.
Now, when they mentioned the whole finals aspect and everything went silent, were you like me and thought that the Crunchyroll stream was just buffering? Because that was a long thing of silence.
See, I honestly didn't think it was buffering because the silence happened and like the music cut out. Because, you know, it's got that swelling, inspirational music, and you like figure that it's just going to keep continuing on. And then he drops the exams bomb and silence happens like right in the middle of that track. And I was like, just so hysterically laughing in my seat that I didn't notice how long it was, because it was just so funny.
You see, I didn't burst out laughing until like they all just started like screaming with panic, because like I said, I thought the Crunchyroll was loading.
No,
I was like, damn it, nah, I gotta rewind here. And all of a sudden, as soon as I was about to push a rewind button, everyone just went,
No, I loved that moment. I thought it was really, really well done, and the comedic timing was perfect. Like, just great. Thank you. Thank you, Production IG. Whoever did that moment did freaking great.
Now, the second episode, it introduces the hopefully new manager, Yachi. What do you think of her as a character?
Well, I have read the manga, so I'm really freaking excited because Yachi is dub S, and she's super, super cute, and her and Shimizu work together a lot, and I think that it kind of brings out more of the females in the show, that there's like another, you know, girl. And so then there's just, I love Haikyuu, but it is very male dominated.
Yes.
So just seeing a couple more females makes me very happy. Also with Tanaka's sister, because Tanaka is like my favorite. So his sister would be like my absolute favorite, Sayako. She's so badass and I love it. And I'm glad that she got to be in this episode with her like leather jacket and super awesome and I love it so much.
I love how, like, yeah, because Yachi is hanging out with her, that she assumes that someone's going to, like, stab her out of jealousy.
Yeah. Well, I thought that was just really funny in general, because they've been running with that joke that, you know, Kyoko Shimizu has, like, all of these fans, like, Tanaka and Nishinoya are part of those fans. And then there was when when Kyoko went to visit Hinata at his class, and all the people around her were like, oh my god, it's like a pretty third year. She's so pretty. She's so gorgeous. And then Hinata's like, what? And she says, oh, Hinata, I need to talk to you about something. And everyone's like, Hinata knows the hot third year.
Because usually in like shonen manga or even like in just comedies, whenever you become popular with like the most popular girl in school, you tend to be the one who gets the shit kicked out of you.
Yeah. So I thought it was just really, really cute and well done. And I blame the author of the manga for that, because he's just a master at writing and I love him very much.
Now, do you think there's a good pairing between... I'm sorry for sounding like I'm shipping here, but do you think there's a good pairing between Yachi and Hinata? Because they do share some common personality between the two of them.
See, I can see that, but having read the manga, I sort of ship Yachi with Yamaguchi, and he's the one freckled one.
Oh, okay.
Just because I think they have a really good dynamic going on. I think Hinata just overwhelms Yachi a bit too much. Because he is like sunshine, and like she, you know, stares at him, and you know, like he thanks her for helping him out with his homework. And he's like, thank you so much, thank you so much. And she's like, I think I need to like lie down or something. Because she was like, that was just too much. And Yamaguchi is more like laid back, so I ship that personally.
Okay. Going back to what you said about the female characters in Haikyuu, and as someone that has read most of the manga, there is the female volleyball team over in Karasuno. Do they ever cover them as much in what this storyline is going up towards?
They don't ever cover them as much. They do like what they did in the first season, where like they'll occasionally show like a match that they're doing, but they're nowhere near the focus, which is sad. But there are tons of volleyball anime that came out in like the 60s, 70s, and 80s that are all about females. So it's not like there hasn't been female volleyball out there before.
So would you say maybe Haikyuu is kind of making up for the fact that there weren't a lot of strong male volleyball characters?
I would say so. The volleyball anime isn't something that's like super popular. Just volleyball in general, it's, you know, there's not that many anime made about it, and I would say that the majority are about females. There's Attack Number One, Attacker Yo, Attack on Tomorrow.
A lot of
them have attack in the name. I don't know why. I would say that there's just a lot of them that are about females, and a lot of them were actually, this is like a little bit off topic, but at least two of the volleyball anime about women that that aired back then were actually specifically made as like a tribute to the Japanese women's volleyball team.
The Olympic
for their
ones,
like,
right?
Olympic wins.
Yeah.
Which is like crazy, because you would never think about that happening now.
No, it's all fictional now. These days they can't, a lot of these stories come up from people's heads. They don't take actual true stories and put them into anime or manga form.
Yeah. So I just think that that's the little interesting little tidbit. But Haikyuu obviously is very fictional, and yeah, the females don't come into it as much, and sometimes they get relegated to the sidelines where they're like commenting on the match to like give the viewer like to know what the frick is going on. If you don't know anything about volleyball, which all sports anime have that in some aspect.
Correct. Now, I think my final question is, as someone who has read the manga itself, like, what is to come in Season 2? Or what do you think is going to be happening in Season 2 of Haikyuu?
Lots and lots of practice matches. Lots and lots of practice matches.
Not even another tournament or anything like that? Just lots and lots of practice matches?
I mean, I think they could get to the beginning of the tournament, but there's no way, because the tournament hasn't, they're going through a tournament right now, and they're not, they haven't finished it yet. Like, they're still fighting and playing the game. So they're right in the middle of a tournament, and they can't, they wouldn't be able to do the anime and have it go up to that point. There's just so much that happened in between. There's going to be a lot of practice matches. You might see a bit of a tournament, but it's going to be practice matches, which I'm fine with, because the characters that you see in the practice matches that they face off against are really super fun, and I'm really excited to see them. So, yeah. All they right. get even more development for the rival teams. That's what you'll see, I think, a lot, is more development of the rival teams.
All right. Sounds pretty cool. And for our listeners, if you want to catch Haikyuu or even catch up on Season 1, you can go onto Crunchyroll.com and watch it right there. And it's already been licensed by Sentai Filmworks.
Yes. And if you don't have a Crunchyroll membership, you can go to Crunchyroll.com/42Believer for a free trial. And it also helps me out. So please do that.
All right. Let's move on to another quick music break, but when we come back, we're going to talk about One Punch Man.
Yeah!
Now, with New York Comic Con happening last weekend, I figured we could spin something related to one of the big mainstays of comic book and sci-fi conventions. In 2004, he shocked the world when he teamed up with Ben Folds for his critically acclaimed album, Has Been. And this song, a cover originally done by the band Pulp, features Joe Jackson on vocals. Here is William Shatner with Common People.
She came from Greece. She had a thirst for knowledge. She studied sculpture at St. Martin's College. That's where I caught her eye. She told me that her dad was loaded. I said, in that case, I'll have a rum and Coca-Cola. She said, fine. And in 30 seconds' time, she said, I want to live like common people. I want to do whatever common people do. I want to sleep with common people. I want to sleep with common people like you. Well, what else could I do? I said, I'll see what I can do. I took her to a supermarket. I don't know why, but I had to start it somewhere. So it started there. I said, pretend you've got no money. She just laughed and said, oh, you're so funny. I said, yeah? Well, I can't see anyone else smiling in here.
Are you sure?
You want to live like common people? You want to see whatever common people see? You want to sleep with common people? You want to sleep with common people like me? But she didn't understand.
She just smiled and held my hand. Rent a flat above a shop. Cut your hair and get a job. Smoke some flags and play some pool. Pretend you never went to school. But still you'll never get it right. When you're lying in bed at night, watching roaches climb the wall. If you called your dad, he could stop it all here.
You'll never live like common people. You'll never do whatever common people do. You'll never fail like common people. You'll never watch your life slide out of you and dance and drink and screw. Cause there's nothing else to do.
Because there's nothing else to do.
Just get you through.
Laugh along with the common people.
Laugh along, even though they're laughing at you and the stupid things that you do, because you think that poor is cool.
Like a dog lying in a corner, they'll bite you and never warn you. Look out.
They'll tear your insides out, because everybody hates a tourist.
Because everybody hates a tourist. Especially one who thinks it's all such a lie.
Yeah, and the chip stains grease will come out in the bath.
You will never understand
how it feels
to live your life
with no meaning.
control. And we've nowhere left to go.
You're amazed that they exist. And they burn so bright while you can only wonder why.
Rent a flat to buy a shop. Cut your hair and get a job. Smoke some fags and play some pool. Pretend you never went to school. But still you never get it right. Cause when you've laid in bed at night, watching roaches climb the wall, if you called your dad, he could stop it all. Yeah, you'll never live like common people.
You'll never do what common people do.
You'll never fail like common people.
You'll never watch your life slide out of you and dance and drink and screw.
Cause there's nothing else to do.
Thank you. 明日君がいなきゃ困る困る。
With Stargazer from their Iro Iro Gromo album. This December, to celebrate the 20th anniversary of Spitz hit record Hachimitsu, a tribute album called Tastes Like Honey will be released, featuring Asian Kung Fu Generation, 9mm Parabellum Bullet, Nico Touches the Wall, and many others. So, Sarah, how big into the superhero genre are you?
Not. It's not that I don't like superheroes. I just haven't found my way into it yet. And maybe One Punch Man will do that.
Well, this is what I find really interesting with One Punch Man, because it takes the whole superhero genre thing and it kind of transforms it into like a sort of like ultimate what if scenario with what if like the most ultimate superhero had been discovered. And he wound up being someone who was kind of tired of being a superhero, to be honest with you.
I mean, it is different from any other superhero story I've watched so far, and I like it. I like it a lot.
So for listeners, the story of One Punch Man, it takes place in Z City, where a guy named Saitama dons a superhero costume and becomes One Punch Man, a hero that is so strong that he's able to defeat any foe with just one punch. So, like, when you were watching the first couple episodes, you had Vaccine Man, Crab Lantern, that colossal guy, the Subterraneans, everything, everyone taken down with just one punch. And because of his strength, he kind of gets bored with being a superhero.
Yeah, and it's kind of interesting to see that, because you just never see someone like, oh, I'm just so strong, there's just like no point anymore. I mean, well, I guess that's a lie, because I have seen that in a sports anime.
Well, you know what it made me think of? Remember that movie Megamind, where Brad Pitt's character just got tired of being a superhero and
wanted to retire?
Yes.
I love that movie. That movie was great.
Yeah, what was the character's name? Metro Man.
I forget his name.
Was it
Metro
Man?
Metro Man, that makes sense.
Because it was, because he was trying to defend Metrocity, as I'm looking at used to call it.
They were all really generic names and stuff. Metro Man, Metro, and then just Man. Yeah, sure, that works.
Because I get that sort of vibe from One Punch Man. These guys just like so sick and tired he's not tired of saving humanity. He's tired of having to not even really lift a finger to do it. It's just like, oh no, town's a terror. Punch. Town's no longer a terror. All right, I guess I can go shopping right now.
But I think that you know, you would think that premise wouldn't have anything interesting to it, but One Punch Man is very interesting.
Really is a quite an interesting premise, especially when you've got the introduction of the new character, Genos, the Cyberman.
Yeah, I think he'll add a new dimension to the table and give Saitama something to do, which will also provide for more humor, which is, I think, another of the series' strong points, is just humor.
I loved when he was just telling the backstory, and he just went on and on and on. You can just tell in One Punch Man's face, he's like, please shut up. Please shut up.
Yeah, he's just like, I just don't want to listen to you. Just like, stop. He just had that face on, and then the Genos' voice actor was talking so rapidly, like he was just so fast trying to get out this huge backstory. And then Ben's like, just fucking go away. I hate you.
What does he say? Enough, please. Just turn your backstory into 100 words or less.
Yeah, like condense it down, motherfucker. Yeah, I thought that was just really, really funny. And as far as I haven't read the One Punch Man manga, but I know people who have, and hearing from them what how One Punch Man goes, One Punch Man is going really fast. Like, the amount of fights that they're doing in one episode is just crazy. Because if you think about it, there's a lot of fights and a lot of stuff that happened in both of those episodes.
Right. But because he can defeat everybody with just one punch, those fights go by quickly.
Exactly. And I think that helps because, you know, it's obviously shonen and he's, like, really super powered and stuff like that. But there's never going to be an episode where the fight gets dragged out for, like, 10 episodes.
Right. You don't get Goku versus Frieza episode with the longest 5 minutes of anybody's life.
Yeah, legit. Oh, kill me. So I think that also works in the series' favor. And it's just really funny. It's just really, really funny.
I like in the end of near the end of episode two, you have the whole battle with Beast King and Armored Gorilla. And, like, Armored Gorilla is like, you may have defeated me. You could kill me right now, but you will never defeat the second strongest man, Beast King. And there's One Punch Man carrying Beast King's like eyes, like, you mean this guy?
Yeah.
And then Armored Gorilla's like, okay, don't kill me. I'll tell you everything I know. Whatever to your voice. I was just trying to sound stronger. My question now is One Punch Man officially the strongest superhero ever? Could he, defeat the likes of Goku, Kenshiro from Fist North Star, even Superman and the Hulk? Could they be overtaken by that punch of his?
I would say that I would first need to see what his training was before I can confidently answer that question.
Because he trained for just 3 years, and for him to, get into that massive strength in just 3 years, it has to be some of the most hardcore training imaginable.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is that, what kind of training exactly did he do? I need to know so I can, piece it together in my mind, because if he did do really, really hardcore training, and it was, the hardest kind of training the world has ever known, then it would make sense that, he could beat everyone. Maybe everyone really is that strong, that you need to train that much to defeat them with one punch. But maybe he really didn't train all that much. He was still a good fighter when he was facing off against that crab guy.
And by the way, the animation in this show has been just amazing. Just see him pull the crab guy out of his shell with his eye socket. That was really impressive.
It was. It was pretty badass. Madhouse, thank you. Thank you so much.
Not afraid to be gory.
Not afraid to be gory. And that scene was I saw that and I was like, it keeps coming out. Oh, God. it just won't stop.
Right.
But as I was saying, with the whole thing, if he trained a normal amount and just got that strong, maybe the enemies aren't as threatening as, the series is making them out to be or something. I don't know. Maybe they're just really weak, and that's why he can kill them all with one punch, because they're just really not that threatening.
So, what if it was, the off chance that this is all some sort of plan? Because they do hint that there's something going on behind the scenes. That they're creating these really weak supervillains or regular villains to maybe, get One Punch Man off of his game a bit and maybe have him forced to give up on superhero because he gets bored with it, and then that's when they show up with the big super-powered supervillains?
I mean, that would be a brilliant plan, and I would never be able to write something as complicated as that, so if that's where they're going, props, because, man.
All right, he's bored with being a hero. Let's get the big guys into this and destroy the world. That's what I feel like that this could be going towards.
Yeah, maybe. But it, I haven't seen, usually with something like that, there's at least a little bit of either foreshadowing or just clues that the audience could pick up on. And I haven't seen too many of those yet.
Now, what do you think is the whole, those sciencey people that have been showing up near the end of last week's episode?
I honestly, I don't know, because they could just be someone who's, that's the thing, is that that group of scientists right there is obviously trying to concoct some evil plan, or they're just an enemy he's going to kill next episode, and they're all going to be gone, and then there's a new enemy. So, because that's what happened, I don't know, the show is so fleeting, like, things happen so fast, because everything can be ended with one punch, that I don't want to, like, do too many predictions for what will happen in the future, because I think that it will be so volatile that things are just going to change all over the place.
Do you think a One Punch Man video game would be possible, or do you think that people would get bored with seeing him just do one-hit kills all the time?
I mean, yeah. Unless you were playing as Genos, then no, you shouldn't make that game. Because at least, you know, Genos, he actually has to fight because he isn't as strong as Saitama. But yeah, the main character is Saitama, so I don't know how you'd pull that off.
Well, maybe, like you said, you play as Genos, and One Punch Man helps you out along the side as he is training you to become a more powerful hero.
It could be done that way, but I don't know if it will be at all.
No. All right. Now, for our listeners, if you want to watch One Punch Man, you can catch it on Hulu and on Neon Alley, because Viz Media, and I was actually surprised that Viz Media licensed the anime to this, because they don't license recent anime as of late.
You know what they licensed recently that I flipped my shit over?
What?
Hunter x Hunter 2011, bitch! They licensed it, and it's gonna get a dub, and I'm so fucking happy.
Yeah, I see on your Tumblr how much you love that show.
It's so good! It's so fucking good! It's like the same thing as IQ. It's just so fucking good. Oh.
I take it a lot of yaoi fanatics love that show, too.
Not as many, because the characters are, like, young, so that's a little awkward.
Eh, all right.
But, I mean, if you do it from, like, just, like, a fluffy kind of, like, puppy love, where nothing actually happens, then it can be cute.
Okay, all right.
But, yeah, no, Hunter x Hunter 2011 got licensed, as did the Haikyuu manga by Viz Media, as did the Kuroko no Basuke manga by Viz Media. Viz Media's on fire lately. I fucking love you guys. Like, seriously, I love you.
You know what? I have to say the same about Sentai Filmworks, too, because they've been getting a lot of the great anime series, too. I mean, they have Haikyuu. They got Is It Wrong to Try to Pick Up Girls in a Dungeon. They've been picking up a lot of great series. And not to mention, I've been liking the dub so far for Parasite.
Really? I haven't listened to the dub at all yet, because I just really hated the last third of that anime.
Okay.
So, I know it's airing on... It's going to air on Toonami, right?
Or is that's why I've been watching it on. I'm up to episode 2 on there. I had it so long in my Crunchyroll queue, and I never watched it, but then when it said it was going to come on Toonami, I'm like, yeah, I'll just watch it on there and see how it is.
Yeah, so you haven't watched it yet, then?
No. No.
Okay.
It's not like how I'm rewatching Akami Got Kill and Michiko and Hachin, because I've seen both those shows and I'm just watching it for the dub. I've never watched Parasite.
I liked Parasite except for the last third. And you'll understand what I mean when you get there.
Okay.
It's not really a spoiler. It's not like anything like really drastic happens. You're just like, oh, okay then. But no, yeah, Viz Media is on fire. I love you guys so much. Thank you very much. And you can also watch it on Daisuke. That's another thing. You can watch it on Daisuke.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that one. All right, well, I think we actually have run out of time. So, 42 Believer, please tell our listeners where they can check out all your stuff.
Okay, so pretty much my username everywhere is 42Believer. On YouTube, I'm 42Believer. On Tumblr, I am 42believer.tumblr.com. I am at 42Believer on Twitter. Okay, now Facebook is 42's Anime Reviews, so that might be a bit complicated, but I have faith in you guys. And as I said earlier, crunchyroll.com/42Believer will get you a free trial. And is that all my things? I'm also on Hummingbird, because Hummingbird's where I catalog all my anime. And that's also 42Believer. Hummingbird is like my anime list, but better.
Okay.
So I like Hummingbird.
And are you also still on Anime Amino?
Not really. I don't use it. It just takes up space on my phone, and I just have. I don't use it.
Yeah.
I know you do, though.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, so for our listeners, if you want to know the news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the Boston Bash Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. If you have any questions, comments, if you're in a band, want to be featured on the show, or if you have any questions for our friend Sawa Sensei, you can write to us at thebastards@bostonbashbrigade.com. You can follow me on Tumblr at b3crew.tumblr.com, on Twitter at king_baby_duck, and on Anime Amino at kingbabyduckesh. Like us on facebook.com/LandofEsh. And facebook.com/BostonBashBrigade. And don't forget about all the other sites under the Land of Esh, including the Electric Sisterhood, Issues Program, Structure Network, and Geek Aggro. 42 Believer, do you have any upcoming conventions that you're going to be attending?
I'm going to be at OhioCon, which is in Ohio. And that is in January. And then after that, I'm going to Anime Boston.
I think Anime Boston might be the next one for me. I don't know of any upcoming smaller ones that are happening around in my neck of the woods. So, yeah, probably Anime Boston will be the next one. Or is PAX East before that one? I can't remember. I have to double check.
I think PAX East is before.
Yeah,
I don't know. I can't remember. I'm also going to a convention which is like in June next year. And it's called Too Many Games. And that's going to be in Pennsylvania. And I'm super excited for that one because I'm going to be a guest. So that's going to be fun.
Wait, you're a guest?
Yeah.
So what do they invite you for?
Well, see, it's like a YouTube thing. Well, not really a YouTube thing, but there's like a lot of YouTube people who go there. So I'm going to have like my own panel with like other people who do anime YouTube. And we're going to like talk about it to people who are interested. And there's like a bunch of, it's more of a gaming convention. But a lot of YouTube people who are like in the anime community go there. Cinemasker will be there.
Oh, nice.
Angry Video Game Nerd. So that should be cool. I'm like, I'll be a guest. I'll get to meet him, probably, maybe. I hope so.
Awesome. So, yeah, check out that convention, Too Many Gamers, OhioCon, Anime Boston, PAX East. I don't even know when PAX East tickets go on sale. They should have been going on sale by now, but... Oh, well. So anyway, the final song that we're going to be playing is from a band called The Novembers, who just released a new EP titled Elegance. From that record is Kokoro Hitotsu Moshi Kiranai Mama. And until next time, this is King Baby Duck.
And this is 42 Believer.
Reminding you that you don't have to be from Boston to be a bastard. But it sure helps.
Sure helps. Sorry, that was like your thing, and then I totally like, I thought it was just the "but it sure helps" part, and I'm dumb. I need to.
It's okay, it's okay.
Oh,
Hey guys, Evan Borgo here, reminding you that what you hear each week on No Borders, No Race is but a mere taste of what you can expect from these talented artists from Japan, America, Europe, and the rest of the world. So if you enjoyed what you heard this week and want to support one of these musicians, go to cdjapan.co.jp, amazon.com, iTunes, Bandcamp, the band's official sites and labels, or even your local record store. We always give our listeners and readers the links to the albums from the respective songs we've spun, so if something resonated with you, give the album name a click and get that record in your possession. Who knows? That one album purchase may help bring your favorite J-pop artist closer to your town. So until next time, keep your volume dimed out, and remember to spread the Japanese music revolution wherever your roads take you.